You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Let's continue with our identity statements. This morning, a reminder of Christ's work in our lives, who Christ is in us, and how Christ is working through us in our world today. I am not what's been done to me, but what Christ has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Christ has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Christ, and Christ determines what I do. Thank you very much. And this morning, we are continuing a conversation about prayer. Remember last week, we had the gold coins? Did y'all enjoy eating your gold coins last week? Remember, one side of the coin represented what?
Speaking,
yes. One side of the coin of prayer, the special treasure that God has given us, is speaking. And what is the other side of the coin? Two sides?
Listening.
Fantastic. That is really good. So in order for there to be a relationship, in order for there to be communication, there needs to be two things, right? Speaking and listening. Otherwise, it's a monologue, and it's one-sided. It's only going in one direction. So Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, gives his disciples a picture, a snippet of what it looks like to have a relationship, to have a conversation with God. Let's read this from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. You've probably memorized it, maybe even prayed it many times. Let's go ahead, and you can pray it if you'd like, or you can read it if you'd like to. The Lord's Prayer together this morning. Let's do this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Good job. And this morning we're going to focus on thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of a kingdom? Is it this? Oh, we'll stop right there. As long as I stop it before Walt Disney totally shows up, I'm okay. And I don't infringe on copyright infringements. When you hear kingdom, do you think of the magic kingdom? Do you think of all that Disney invested into inspiring creativity and love and drawing that childlike out of each of our hearts? That Cinderella spirit that connects deep inside of each of us sometimes and makes us believe even in that moment when against all odds that are against us, we choose to press on and press in. The Disney kingdom, or maybe this is the kingdom that comes. A little Game of Thrones this morning. Cutthroat. Is that what you picture when you think of kingdom? What do you think of? Do you think of treachery, backstabbing, families falling apart, being divided, destroyed, all kinds of crazy? Game of Thrones. Is that what comes to your mind when you think of Christ and Christ's kingdom? Throughout the history of the church, Christ's kingdom here on earth, we've had a little bit of both. We've had moments where it looked like a whole lot more along the lines of Game of Thrones in the way that God's people were interacting and responding to those around them. There was a time in our world when if you didn't bow and confess God and say, I believe in God's church, then it was whoosh, off with the head, or you died by the sword. It was a dark time. It was not what Jesus had planned or prepared. Then there are also those moments in our history, if we look back at church history, when there were those that tried to live kind of airy-fairy, kind of a little bit of, if I just click my heels enough, then everything's going to turn out all right. There's no place like home, and if I can just wish it or somehow imagine it into being. Both are extremes when we talk about what does it mean to be a follower of Christ, and neither captures God's heart for us. In the scriptures, we read over and over again about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of this world. Three kingdoms, three ideas that come forth, and primarily the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are interchangeable. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we talk about the kingdom of heaven, we're talking about the same thing. When we talk about the kingdom of this world, we're talking about not God's kingdom or the heavenly kingdom, but we're talking about the kingdom of our world. And it's important that we stop and we step back and we recognize that there can be a whole lot of Game of Thrones in the world's kingdom. But there can also be a little bit of Disney as well. And I need to have a little Disney in my life. I need to have that feeling that, and that reminder from God's Spirit that dreams really do come true, especially the dreams that God has dreamed for me and for each of us. Remember that beautiful scripture? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and to bring to expected end. There's that hope. But then there's also those moments where I fall back onto the words, no weapon formed against us will prosper. There are those moments in my life where God touches and moves deep inside to draw a little bit of that tenderness and that excitement towards life that I need, the Disney experience. And there's those moments where God brings out that fierceness. And it's not just I'm choosing love in a moment, but I'm there and I'm going to fight for God's love in my life and in the lives of those around me. When we talk about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of this world, it's important that we step back and we recognize that there are moments in our lives when the system that we live in, the way of doing things, the way of interacting, the order of things, it's not bad. There are sometimes when the kingdom of this world is referred to as something that we wrestle against. But then there's also times where we're encouraged and we're exhorted and we're drawn into a place where we don't fight it, but we come alongside it and we encourage and we are a part of the salt and the light being revealed. On Wednesday, we celebrate what? The 4th of July. 4th of July is a time to celebrate independence. Up until our small nation, fledgling group of individuals came to that place, up until that point when they said, we declare our freedom, we declare our independence from what? The monarchy, from a kingdom, from tyranny, from taxation with what? Out representation. When we talk about the 4th of July, we're celebrating a system in our world that we find ourselves either really happy about or frustrated with or disgusted with. We call it the United States. And there's moments where I'm very proud to be an American, and there's sometimes where I'm just like, this is hard. The system isn't working. Have you ever seen the system not working? Here in the U.S., maybe here in Texas, maybe even here in our own community, where we step back and we say, God, I'm frustrated with the kingdom of our world right now, the way it's being revealed, the way it's being implemented, the way that it's affecting the people in our lives. On Wednesday, I'll celebrate the United States and the order, the forum, the way that things have progressed in our world. I'm grateful for the freedom that I have, but I'm also grateful that that freedom gives me the freedom not to necessarily say, God bless the Republicans, or God bless the Democrats, or God bless whatever political affiliation I look at. Those are systems and ways of doing things, and not necessarily the kingdom of our God and the kingdom of heaven. It's important that we step back and we recognize that there is a kingdom that is outside of the form, outside of the system, outside of the way of doing things within our world today. Throughout the Gospels, and specifically, let's take a look at a few kingdom references in Matthew's Gospel. Would you all read these with me? The kingdom in the Gospel of Matthew. We see about 10 references to the way the kingdom works. This kingdom that Jesus encourages us to pray and challenges us to say, thy kingdom, what? Come. What does the kingdom look like that Jesus is saying, as my followers, as the representation of God's children, God's family in this world, I want you to welcome this into your life. What are we welcoming? Number one, the kingdom was pronounced at hand. The idea that God's kingdom has come and it's right here with us. It's not way up in some kind of three-tiered system that we have to get to eventually in our lives, but it is right with us right now. Number two, possession and blessing in the kingdom of heaven promised to the righteous. So those who are connected with God, walking with God, aware of God, the kingdom is revealed in their hearts through their words and their actions. Number three, Gentiles will be in the kingdom of heaven. Gentiles. Jesus was Jewish and was speaking to the Jewish people. And in that time and in that space, only the Jews viewed themselves as worthy of receiving the kingdom. And yet the kingdom was meant for all of God's creation, all of God's children to be experienced. The kingdom is for the Gentiles as well. Number four, kingdom of heaven is composed of those who know and don't know God. Take a look at that sometime when you have the opportunity. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30. Those who know God and who don't know God comprise the kingdom. Number five, the kingdom of heaven subject to the rapid growth. There are moments when the kingdom moves forward very quickly, and then there are times where the kingdom of heaven is something that is slowly working process. Let's go on to number six. The kingdom of heaven is a tree, and the bird, symbolic of Satan or any darkness or evil, is there resting in the tree, which is the kingdom. Jesus used some pretty crazy pictures to describe the kingdom to push us into a place where we can receive his mystery in a way that causes us sometimes to step back and say, wow, I don't understand that, but I want to choose to believe what God has said to me. Number seven, the kingdom of heaven has leaven, symbolic of misinformation about God. I don't know about you, but staying on message is really important in our political world today. Have you noticed that? Staying on message. There are talking points, and somebody stays on the talking points, oftentimes regardless of whether the interviewer goes this way or that way. They keep coming back to the talking points. Sometimes that drives me nuts. And the kingdom of heaven doesn't always stay where we would assume. The kingdom of heaven has leaven in it. It's symbolic of misinformation. Be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. Number eight, kingdom of heaven is challenging. kingdom of heaven is pushing forward, challenging. You've been in that place where God's kingdom, God's call, God's moving in your life was pushing you out of your comfort zone into a place that you haven't been comfortable before, or maybe pulling you. Things kind of neat and orderly and comfortable, but then there's those moments where God says, do you trust me? And are you going to take that step in that direction? Let's continue. Number 9, some of the features of the kingdom of heaven designated mysteries. Again, we desire to know and to understand intellectually so strongly, such a strong desire in our world today and in each of us. And yet there are those moments where I have to step back and say, I don't understand it, but that's okay because it's a part of being in the kingdom of God, and I am going to allow God to be God in my life and to do the work that needs to be done. And lastly, number 10, the kingdom of heaven likened unto children. Anybody ever gone rock climbing before? Or rappelled off of something? A tower? No? Some of you like to keep your feet firmly planted on the ground. Well, this is a carabiner. Real quick lesson on carabiners. The backside that doesn't move is called the spine. The part that switches open and close is called the gate. And the opening is obviously called the opening. And this doesn't have it here, but right here, this part is called the nose. The nose. I have a carabiner, the very first carabiner I ever bought. And that carabiner is big and it's gold. And I've used it for climbing. I won't use it for climbing anymore because I've had it for over 10 years and it's not safe. The carabiners you have in your hands are not meant for climbing or holding weight. They're meant for light, holding things together. Maybe your keys on your belt, maybe your pocket knife, or you can clip it onto your backpack. What is a carabiner used for? Carabiner is used to connect things. Carabiner is used to keep you safe in the event of falling. Firefighters use carabiners. Military women and men use carabiners. In some of the rock climbing that I've done over the years, I've used carabiners. They have carabiners within the marina. If you go into a boating store, you'll find carabiners. There's something about being able to lock on, latch, and have it be secure for you in that moment. Carabiner. I want everyone to hold your carabiner up. See that? Carabiner. It opens up. It connects whatever you need to connect. I was really cool when I was about 16 years old. I first got my car keys. I would hook my carabiner on to my belt loop, hook my keys on there. Always knew where my keys were. Why? Because they were clipped right on there. Carabiners are pretty cool. When you hook into a harness and you're going to do some climbing, you're not focused on the carabiner, you're focused on what you're climbing. You're focused on the rock that you're fixing to either go up or come down on. You may be focused on the rope as well. They'll teach you to hold on to your rope as you're coming down. But all along, your carabiner is there. What is your carabiner doing? Your carabiner is keeping you locked in tight, connected to the rope. The rope that is there for safety, the rope that is there to help you in that moment should you fall and need to be caught. Everyone got their carabiner? Good. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven as something that is a connection for each of us with God. It's a way of looking at ourselves, and it's a way of looking at others. The kingdom is the system, the way of doing and the way of being. And there's those moments in my life where I'm not necessarily conscious or aware of God's kingdom. But you know what? God's kingdom is always there with me in that moment should I fall. God's kingdom is there to catch and support. Over and over again in my life, I've had those instances where I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't know what I was going to do. Have you ever had that moment? And so you pause and you say, oh, I should probably ask God what to do here in this moment. That is the moment that I am aware that something is holding me and catching my fall. That moment of, I am uncertain, the carabiner, God's kingdom, God's laws, God's rule and reign in my life brings faith to the surface and gives me the courage to say yes in a moment. Sometimes yes through a still small voice that I hear of God's instruction and direction. Sometimes it's a loud booming, no, stop, don't go any further. The connection is on the inside of our lives and it's revealed through the outside. 4th of July is a time to remember the freedom we have from another country ruling over us. But it's also a time for us to remember that we have another kingdom living inside of us, ruling and reigning. And that kingdom is what connects us to our God and our King in our lives. There are many times where we find ourselves feeling like we're free falling. The carabiners are disconnected. They're not connected to anything. It's in that moment that we pause and we stop and we step back and we say, God, I want your kingdom to come in my life. I want that stability. I want your rule and your reign, your guidance in my life. I'd like you all to take your carabiner and just wrap your hand around it if you can. Just hold it. Hold it tightly. I'd like you to close your eyes. I just want you to ask the question this morning, what does it mean for your kingdom to come in my life? God, what does it mean for your kingdom to come in my life? Jesus, I thank you that you're inside of each of our hearts. And where the King is present, we know that the kingdom is also present. So we just say thank you this morning for being with us, for being our connection. Your kingdom, what does it mean for it, Jesus, to come into our lives and into our world today? God, whether or not we know in this moment what that part of your kingdom and it being manifest looks like or sounds like or is going to be for us, we come together as members of your kingdom and we say, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Would you all pray that with me? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you so much for the words of Christ and the reminder that your kingdom is that connection in our hearts, in our minds, spiritually, emotionally, physically. That is there keeping us connected with you. We thank you that the kingdom is within each of us, and we say yes to the working of your kingdom today. Thank you so much for your Spirit and the way that your Spirit moves in us and around us and through us. We say yes to that connection today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.